presented by the Esports Research Network and the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, Sweden.
Welcome to the Esports Research Report. I'm Brian McCauley here in Sweden, in Jönköping, the city of DreamHack, where I work with the Media Management Transformation Center.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Orm from Emmanuel College in Boston in the United States. Today, we're super excited. Here with us is Sarah Hayes, who's a licensed therapist and a clinical contributor at TakeThis.org. She's also the vice president of Queer Women of Esports, which is what we're going to be talking a lot about today. So I'm very excited to hear more about that. Welcome, Sarah. Thank you for being here with us. We'd love to hear a little bit more about you and what you do.
Thanks so much. I'm so excited to be here. So I am a doctoral level clinical therapist, virtually serving the Seattle, Washington area. I also, the super surface version of that is that I practice what's called geek therapy. I work a lot with games industry folk, work a lot with tech folk, as is common in Seattle. But I specialize with interventions clinically that include video games, comic books, pop culture, and specialize in knowledge and understanding of cultural connections to that media. I also specialize in queer populations and generally understanding the games industry. I clinically contribute to Take This via public speaking, running panels, submitting panels for conventions, and especially in the before times when conventions were a thing. And then I write articles like we're working on a diagnostic series to explain kind of in layman's terms what mental health and mental illness diagnoses are and why they exist and what they mean and where we can find them in media. And then I work as the vice president of Queer Women of Esports, which is an org that I'm guessing we're going to talk a lot more about. So I won't go too far into that. But Take This's mission is to educate and reduce the stigma around mental health, mental illness in the games industry and community. So there's that.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, look, we always have the same question every time, and what is, for to start off anyway, what is your definition of esports?
So I tend to be a semantics person. I like to know kind of the Webster definition of things, and then I like to think about like my conceptualization. So I will say it is an acronym that stands for electronic sports, but esports is where instead of a physical sport like football, you're seeing people compete in video games, and so the competitors or athletes are the people who play them. So that's. I hope that's not too conventional, but that's my definition of esports.
Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're definitely interested in hearing about this newer organization, right? So you're the vice president of Queer Women of Esports, and we'd love to know, like, what's the mission, right? How did you all get started, and what is it that you specifically do?
So our mission has been to make competitive gaming and esports, basically, a more inclusive place, particularly for queer people and particularly for queer women, because of the lack of opportunities given to those folk or the discriminations and oppression that are occurring to those folk. It's harder to get into the industry. It's harder to get into competitions. There's various situations at hand that make it harder to be successful. And so our mission is to really uplift and help them develop and be able to get into it when they're passionate about competing in esports or working in the industry generally. Yeah.
I mean, what are some of the issues like for surrounding queerness in esports? What are some of the specific things that you kind of come across? Because, you know, I've seen a lot of in Sweden. Okay, I'm in Sweden. So Sweden is very, very, very good with that stuff. And I've seen a lot of queer people within game industries and esports. And it's all great here. So I assume it's maybe not so Scandinavian over where you are. So what are some of the specific issues that you come across that you have to deal with?
So, I mean, a big one that we're running into right now is in collegiate esports, particularly where there's discrimination amongst teammates that gets backed up by coaches or kind of erased. There's a lot of, I really hesitate to like call anything locker room talk or call it like behind closed doors, but it's sort of the function of it. We're working towards helping create NDA life, I'm telling you. One of the main things we're tackling is how included esports in particular. There is a culture that creates otherness for people who are queer and for women and for non-binary folk and for trans folk, where it feels unsafe. It doesn't feel like their teammates take them seriously. It feels like their teammates don't take them seriously. They don't give them opportunities to compete next to them just like they would any other cishet man or boy, depending on the age of the teammate. The way in which women are portrayed in esports on a broad scale is about girl gamers, which is a very toxic and stigmatized community, which I know that Steph and I have talked about at length and probably could for many hours. And it's a more well-researched area of gaming that I encourage listeners to look it up if you are unfamiliar, but girl gamers in particular, that title by itself has so much stigma and negativity attached to it. And it's about not being taken seriously and not being seen as a legitimate gamer. And so that bleeds into esports very quickly. Like I saw a tweet the other day, and I'm not gonna call any companies out or any teams out or any orgs out, but I saw a tweet that was like a child putting on lip gloss and she was wearing an esports jersey. And it was like, feel good, game good, get good, or something like that. And it was hashtag girl gamers. And it's like, why is this necessary to say that she has to put on lip gloss to feel like she can compete? That kind of a thing is so common. And then when it comes to queers, especially in queer culture, but then outside of queer culture too, there's some strange things about defining what a competitor is, especially when it comes to like dating competitors, like, who is a challenge or a threat to one another. And so it's like, oh, she's a lesbian, so she's gonna challenge who I might want to date, so I don't like that person, that kind of a thing. And it's strange how that is a sort of common theme, but it's sort of common.
Interesting.
I mean, one thing is, I'm not a boy gamer, am I? I mean, that is, right. if we break it down, I mean, that's one of the huge issues. I'm not going, I am Brian, I'm a boy gamer.
Right.
I mean,
right.
The fact that it exists, girl gamer, is just a problem.
Right. Right. And there's a lot of like, I know that the terms are interchangeable, right? If we look at the dictionary, I was talking about learning how to define things earlier. Female versus woman, like, mm-hmm. why must we objectify into scientific terminology, like what someone is in order to be a competitive gamer? Why do we have to say, like, although on a higher tangent, like, why must we disclose who we want to go to the bedroom with in order to be seen or have legitimacy or not? Like, it makes me sad that we have to designate an organization in order to uplift people because there is discrimination against them. But it'd be great if it could just be like, they're an esports athlete, they're an esports marketing agent, they're a color caster. Like, why does it have to be she's a lesbian girl gamer? But this is the world we live in, or at least sounds like we need to go to Sweden, because that would be great.
I don't think it's perfect here either. I mean, there's an organization here called Female Legends. Mm-hmm. Jesper, Lily, and Lisa run that. And they actually do a lot of stuff to work to help females and non-binaries get into esports. They do workshops. Mm-hmm. They have lanes at DreamHack to help younger girls feel comfortable there. And they do a lot of great stuff. And I'll probably have them on this show as well down the line. So it's certainly not perfect here. But one thing I do notice that come from Europe is in America, you seem to have to tick your ethnicity applying for a job or coming into the country. And to us here in Europe, I mean, Caucasian, whatever, like, it's not a thing. It's, you know, is there a certain amount of you have to be in a box in America, that there's the census sort of way of doing things that sort of makes it more of an issue there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. And I mean, to go on a very brief psychological tangent, like, that's something our brain likes to do. It likes to put everything in boxes. That's why we have stereotypes and like labels. Mm-hmm. But the hard part is, especially in the queer community, we don't even always not to speak for everyone, but many folk in the queer community don't always even like to use labels. Like, the term queer has been a movement of reclamation because it's more generalized. And so it's easier to be able to be fluid and understanding yourself when society has been discriminatory in that way. But yeah, checking those boxes is definitely hard in the moment that you have a name like I do, or a gamer tag that exposes who you are, or the fact that you don't have the stereotypical equipment going on, if you know what I'm saying, then all of a sudden it becomes a thing. And it's like, why must it be a thing, even if we have to check the boxes? But
Which is, you know, is interesting too, right? It's this idea of why does it have to be a lesbian gamer, right? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, to your purpose, right, of your organization, it's also in a weird way, right? It becomes also about like showcasing those individuals and giving them visibility too, right?
Yeah.
So there's always this trick with that.
Yes. And we want to create a safe community for those people to foster growth and develop and learn and understand what they're doing. That's part of why we started our mentorship program. And it's about creating a safe space for people to go. Like, we found a person on Reddit the other day who was upset because they were going through. So how much language can I use on this?
I'm Irish. I don't mind stereotypes. Awesome. You know?
Okay. Go for it.
They posted in a subreddit called Am I the Asshole? And they posted, like, this is going on. Am I being a jerk, or am I being, like, was I awful for recording this conversation? Or, like, is this a legitimate thing I can be concerned about when someone discriminated against them in their esports team? And it's like, no, you're not. And then we welcomed them to Discord. Somebody popped on and was like, hey, have you seen this Discord? And it's like, this is why we're creating this community. This is why we care. And this is why we're working towards this, because it's unsafe. And so we need to create the safe space so that people can feel good. And then when they go into that environment where they might experience discrimination, which we're trying to combat, at least they have that community there to be behind them and be there to help them feel more legitimate and have that growth and backing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a big part of the organization is about creating a community, right? Like, welcoming and affirming kind of space, right?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a little bit about this mentorship program, right? I'm really interested in that. Like, how has that taken off so far? And I'd love to know too, if people are maybe interested in becoming mentors, like, mm-hmm. is that something they can get involved with?
It is. Yeah. So our mentor applications are closed. We have a group of roughly 20 mentors that we have signed on and signed on the contracts and ready to go. And those are all people that we've thoroughly taken a peek at as far as their careers in esports, what they're doing. The vast majority of them are women. The vast majority of them have been in the industry for years. I think the shortest span of career of our mentors is probably like 3 years in the industry, roughly. So, I mean, we've got folks who really know what's going on. And then for the mentees, we're closing applications very, very shortly. So by the time this is released, unfortunately, I'm so sorry, but we won't be accepting people anymore. But we are going to do another wave of mentees and mentors. And so if you are interested, please feel free to continue to reach out and we can consider you for the next round. And what our goal is to offer education, special internal panels by our mentors, by external experts on things about the industry, things to know about the industry, ways to get into the industry, experiences that are occurring there, things to know about your rights and the legalities around the rights and what are the rules out there that we know of to empower people to understand what they're doing, but then also around skills in esports for the athletes. They're tailored to each mentee's application. We're pairing people based on the role they want to do. We're going to pair them with a mentor who does that. So then they have that direct contact with an inside person in the industry, and then they're able to really foster growth and have that person show them the ropes and give them kind of a safer entree into the industry in a way that is unique and embracing and affirming of their queerness as well.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I love too. What I really love about these gaming industry mentorship kind of programs, right? Like IGDA does mm-hmm. similar things, right? Is that, you know, and you kind of touched on this earlier, but it's one thing breaking through into this highly competitive industry, right? Where depending on your identity, a lot of cards are stacked against you, but then thriving in that industry and remaining in that industry is like a whole other piece of the puzzle, right? Yeah. So like you finally crack through that barrier and then you're there and you find out that your workplace is really hostile and toxic to you, right? So
right.
I feel like having a support system like what Queer Women of Esports is trying to build, right? It has been building, can really sort of be the make or break defining factor for a lot of people staying, right?
Totally. Absolutely. And it's about having that ongoing, long lasting community and connection there, having that relationship with that mentor moving forward, where there is still someone around who they know, who they can be like, hey, this really weird thing happened. Or like, do you have any folks who you feel like are safe and comfortable for me to go to when I'm trying to grow in this way? Or having that longer term community feels like the core of what we're trying to accomplish, so that people feel like they can stick around and do what they want to do and what they're passionate in and feel safe doing it.
Is Discord where you're kind of running this from? Is the Discord server mm-hmm. where all the sort of action happens? Because I know like ERN, we do a lot of our casual stuff in Discord. Is this where it is kind of the bringing people into the fold platform?
Yes, that's currently where we're housed. And then we also have a Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/queeresports.
We'll put everything underneath the video so people can perfect. Find out for themselves.
Thank you. Yeah, we're on Twitch. We stream on Fridays. We're also going to start a QWE After Dark, which is going to be an open, frank, and educational conversation around sexuality, sexual orientation, kink community, sex positivity, and not in a way that is flaunting or casual, but in a way that's educational and more like a common experience among queers, is that if they had only understood or known or learned about certain aspects of sexuality and identity, they might have had a different life experience sooner, mm-hmm. or they might have been able to really explore themselves more. So that's that part of the mission. We're going to do that on Twitch later on at night. And of course, following Twitch rules, there's only so much we can talk about, but we're going to start that stream soon as well. And then we have the Discord as well, and then our website. So lots of ways.
So the esports is kind of a kind of unifying thing to get engaged with this. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's something that it's so pervasive. It's with, especially with younger people. I mean, I have a mentor. He's a 17-year-old English kid who's helped me with CSGO right now. So I'm kind of flipping it on my head. But what can I say? Like, he teaches me how to do Mirage, do smokes and stuff.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so this sounds really good. And esports is the binding thing, and it's almost your niche, but it's so pervasive with the younger generations that it's almost an unquestionable thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's one of those, if someone leans more towards, I'm looking for a queer community that understands when I say I play CSGO, great. Even if you're a casual gamer, like, I am not an esports athlete. I am not very, like, I will not, I... I'm beyond the prime age to be able to do that cognitively, but also I understand and like to research and learn about gaming and identity and all of these things. And so my role is much more like administrative. But if the community is more for learning and developing in that way, if it's for industry professionals, great. If it's for athletes, great. It's about having this community here within this industry, within a community that understands when you're like, I was playing... I don't know, Dead by Daylight, and somebody was super toxic and started using the F word and not the one that ends in UCK, we're going to understand and we're going to be there. So it's definitely one of those, like, it's a cultural aspect, and then it's also, well, it's a dual pronged cultural aspect, I guess, queer and gaming.
Yeah, no, look, I'm playing CSGO. I mean, several people have mentioned my mother, which is very nice of them, but I say she's not interested. I say she's not interested. So I can only imagine that, you know, I'm there with big, deep Irish accents, and some 14-year-old kid is squeaking at me about my mom.
Yeah.
And it's very hard not to
mm-hmm.
to just go, hey, we're a team, and then insult them back. Sometimes they do. But, like, I can only imagine what it's like when you're not a big, white, 39-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. How much more? Because it's awful. And it can only be so much worse for these people already maybe struggling with identity, struggling with being a teenager. And, you know, God, I couldn't imagine hearing mm-hmm. those people if I was 15. I'd be hunting them down where they live.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's can be very, very toxic. Yep. So do you actually, is there with the community, do you organize competitions for the members to play?
We're working on that, absolutely. On the day that this is going to premiere, we're actually doing a partnership with the NWHL, and we're having a custom matchmaking in Fortnite created for us. So for those suffering through Fortnite nightmares, it's not going to be Fortnite nightmares. And we're going to have NWHL players playing with us in Fortnite. And then we are currently looking for teams to play that with us. So if you are looking for a last minute thing to do on this spoopy Friday night, we're going to be getting sweaty in some Fortnite. So it'll be fun.
I know we said I know we say stereotypes, but like, I think I'm way too old for Fortnite.
You'd be surprised though, because when I go to play Apex Legends or I go to play like some of the faster paced games, I have a harder time. But Fortnite includes building and shooting and fighting and looting. And then it also includes pacing and circling into and rotating where you're trying to get to. So it's a more forgiving pace, I'll tell you. I was not a big fan of Fortnite until our president, Dr. Lindsay Miglior, introduced me to it. And then I was like, oh, I can do this one. I got this one.
That's very cool.
I'm going to stick to one.
That is okay. That's a good strategy as well.
I'm not great. Steph, have you any more questions about Queer Women of Esports before we wrap this up?
Oh man, there's so many things. Like I said, you know, Sarah and I can talk a lot about gender and sexuality and gaming, but I feel like that's a really good comprehensive overview of sort of what the current mission is, right? I think you've touched on a lot of the pressing issues, right, that players, queer players specifically, are facing today, right?
Well, then I guess the final question we have is what are the sort of things that you would like to see researched? What are the future research directions that you would like researchers to explore, to chase after, you know, and actually look for answers for that can be used for social impact? Future research recommendations, Sarah, please.
So one thing that we're actually doing that I would love to look into doing, there's always those, like, when you do research, there's always those moments where you're like, oh, this would be a really cool study. I've been gathering data from the mentors, and now I'm formatting for the survey release tomorrow of the mentees of, like, what is your experience in the industry? What are the things that you see as welcoming? What are the things you don't? What about it do you feel like could be improved? What are the policies, if any policies out there? That's a major call for research of, like, there's no real regulatory body in esports. It would be super amazing to be able to understand what is it that we need? What is it that people wish for? What is it that would help with the movements of equality and reducing oppression and finding out how to foster growth without orgs like us to need to help with it? Like, what are the rules we need in place? What are the ethics that we need teams to focus on? What are the things we need coaches to be able to think about with their teams and with their players to be able to foster better development? Because frankly, when everybody feels supported, team morale goes up, people are better playing generally. We can make these correlations where it's like, well, when people feel good, they do better. So broad scale, it will help team performance, but research that backs that up will also be helpful to be able to point at it directly and be like, hey, we know this in other fields, but here in esports, this is the stuff. So that would be my recommendation.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for being here with us today. This was fantastic. Always a pleasure to talk with you. And I'm so excited to see the future of queer women in esports like continue to grow. The stuff you're doing, I think, is fantastic. And, you know, I think our viewers will also be really excited to hear about it. And some of them might even get involved. So we'll, like we said, drop links to the Twitch channel, right? The Twitter, all these other different outlets that we were talking about in the video, we'll make sure to include underneath the video when it goes up. So Sarah, thanks again so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Sarah. It's been my pleasure.
Right. Bye. I'm just a little bit of a